The Winners Club is the weekly podcast that shares the highlights and insights from some of the most meaningful and impactful conversations from the number one community on Clubhouse, The Winners Club.
How have you become the head honcho of one of the most respected marketing agencies on the planet?
Yes, well, so I got into marketing. So this is how I got into marketing. Let's start there. Let's not go back any further. So I got into marketing. I was originally doing sales in London, selling investment packages and things like that over the phone. Hardcore sales, right?
Look at Ash, twinkling his eyes going, yeah, those are good people.
Lovely.
Good days.
Lovely. but we were calling, like, the leads that we were calling, and I considered, but I thought I was fairly good. You know, my numbers were pretty decent, but we were calling, you know, I don't like to swear, what can I say? Rubbish. Let's call them rubbish. We were calling rubbish leads.
Yeah.
Like these were purchased, but they're
phone book style.
This was like the list was basically, does this person have an ISA? It doesn't even have to have any money in it. Have they got an ISA? And that was the list we were calling, you know? And it was like, but you'd call 100 people, 5 people might answer. Out of that 5, 4 would tell you to do one. And then you might have one that would just talk to you. And you know, I did this for a long time. And then when I remember the day it happened, I had a meeting with the MD of the place at the time. And I just said, you know, out of curiosity, like, is there any better leads out there? Can we get any better leads? And he said, mate, do you know how much these leads cost? I said, mate, I haven't got a clue, to be honest. He said, £20 each is roughly how much it was costing him for one of these names on this list. Yeah. And I was like, you can't be serious. And because then I worked it out, how many numbers on average I call a day, 200. And I was like, God, that's about £4,000 a day. And then most of those aren't answering. And then that sort of like got my brain ticking and sent me down this, what ended up in this massive, very expensive rabbit hole that I went down of going into digital marketing. Because, you know, they were just buying these lists. Said, there's got to be a better way. So I went onto Google, figured out, you know, how to generate leads, how people are generating leads. And then this whole thing of online marketing, you could actually generate leads from Google. I was like, Google? It was only Google Ads at the time, really, that existed. And I found like courses. I found people that were doing trainings on it. I read, you know, everything I could for months and months. I just studied about how I could potentially get some more leads. And to the point where I thought I was competent enough to do it. And I approached the MD and the team there. And I just said, look, guys, at the moment, you pay this much for leads. I think that I can generate you some leads for a little bit cheaper using Google. I was like, what do you mean from Google? You know, told them a little bit about it, pitched them it. And then they said, okay, listen, what we'll do, we'll give you £1,000. We'll give you £1,000 to spend on Google. And then you see how many leads you generated. So I took the £1,000. I ended up generating about 200 leads at the time. So really, really cheap.
£1,000, that's £20 a lead as opposed to 200.
That roughly, they were about the same cost per lead, roughly. Or maybe a little bit cheaper, but when we got these leads through, and again, I had some of them, and then one of the other closers in the office had them, and I think we made, I can't remember the exact figure, but it was over £30,000 from these leads. So we'd spent £1,000, closed about £30,000 worth of business from these leads. And obviously, you know, the directors were all over me. It's like, wow, how did you do that? I said, well, you know, I just did this. Right, can you do more of it? You know, and then they started giving me more money to the point where I ended up just running all of their marketing for them at the time, lead gen. I come away from sales, and then I started getting approached by other firms because it's very competitive in London, as Ash knows. And then suddenly, you know, word got around that, oh yeah, they've got this guy in house that does this Google thing. You know, Ash probably heard of him back in the day.
Ash,
you heard about him? They've got this guy who does Google. Yeah. Anyway, so I was out having a couple.
Stand outside his office, poach him as soon as you see him.
I'd be out having a couple of beers, and then you know, someone from another firm would come up. Can you do it for me? Can you do it for me? And in the end, I left to do that. And I was just generating leads for a lot of the firms up London. And then I was still in London, though. I'd had Ben at the time, my first son. I had him when I was 19. So he's now sort of 4. I had Isabel, was just been born, my second. And Sophie was on the way. So my third one was on the way. And the travelling was just doing me in, man. Like, I would never, ever work in London again. It was just a killer. Yeah. I was spending, you know, on average, an hour. It was an hour and a half, roughly, from door to door each way. So that's 3 hours of my day that it was just. And so it was early, didn't see him in the mornings. I was getting back late, barely seeing him at night. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Even though I was earning okay money. So there was at that time a job advertised for a marketing manager I can't remember exactly what he called himself at the time, public speaking expert or something like that. And it was in Kent, and I thought, cool, that looks tasty. And then when I actually looked into it and then applied for the job, got an interview, and they sent me the address, no joke, it was two roads down from where I was living. So I could walk here, because it was at his house, I could walk there in 30 seconds. It was mad. So I walked around the corner and it was this guy called Andy Harrington. A lot of you might know Andy Harrington, right? Big big in like public speaking, does big events, you know. He's known from selling from stage. That's sort of like what he teaches.
He teaches
people how to sort of sell from stage. At the time, you know, we were in a spare room in his house. His business was doing sort of, you know, low to mid six figures at the time. And he wanted to take it to the next level. He didn't really understand the digital marketing space. So I got a job with him. I mean, that was really my education started there, because what was great about working for Andy is I wasn't just able to develop my marketing skills, but business as well, because I literally helped him grow a business from to, you know, it ended up in, you know, eight figures by the time I left. It was sort of like from there up there. So I learned so much about business in that time as well, which was really, really valuable. But also I just got to meet some fantastic people because of the circuits he was on and massive stages, you know, thousands and thousands of people speaking on stages with like Richard Branson and Tony Robbins and all these guys. You know, I've pretty much met all of those guys, which was great. Got to travel the world, which was sometimes great, but then sometimes wasn't. But I just sort of got to master my craft, you know, I really did. And I just fell in love with it because I love marketing, as you know, because you've met me before. I'm just so passionate about it. I love it. You know, I just live and breathe it. And it just enabled me to just go all in at that. You know, I had everything at my disposal to get good, to make mistakes. And it wasn't even my money. It was his. So when I did make mistakes, he lost money, not me. But then
they say learn from other people's mistakes. You was learning from other people's money.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's even smarter.
But you know, me and him left on great terms. In the end, I just you know, I was getting approached by again just loads of other of his friends and other speakers, because I was filling at one point. I was filling most of the events in the UK in that space, in that expert space.
Right, yeah, that was your real sort of speciality, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, because that's all Andy did. His business model was like, let's do an event, let's do a free event, let's get people in a room, let's add loads of value and then make them an offer at the end. And then because I was doing it so well for him, all of the other guys, you know, started coming to me and asking me to do it. And in the end, I just made the decision to break away and start my own firm, Einstein Marketer, and just start doing it for other people. And it was great. At first, it was just it for those people in that industry, but I've now taken my skills. Actually, that's probably the smallest part of our portfolio now. You know, we've got double glazing firms. We've got dentists, a couple of dentists. We've got law firms now, solicitors. You know, wide range of service based companies that need lead generation. And I think that's really the speciality of us is we're lead gen. You know, direct response lead gen. Do you need leads to offer your services to? Then we can generate them and qualify them for you, so that when they at least join your list, that you know they want what you got. Got me a new set of teeth for free.
Did it?
Yeah. One of my clients is a dentist. He didn't want to pay. I didn't want to pay for my teeth. So we did a switcheroo. Yeah.
That's money well spent. That was, wasn't it? Absolutely, good contract deal. That.
Yeah. Time well spent.
Yeah. Time well spent. It was about eight grand's worth of teeth. So I did about $8,000 worth of business. Got myself a new set of veneers. So sorry to disappoint you, ladies and gentlemen. They're not real. They are veneers. And that brings me up to now. Like, you know, we've been growing Einstein now for sort of 3 years. You know, slow and steady. First person I took on was a content director, funnily enough. Everyone was telling me I was mad to not take on a salesperson or a PA. But I just saw the massive gap in this country, especially for content only stuff, or at least content first business models, because obviously I've come from a world where it's all selling, you know, right off the bat. So I wanted to sort of set myself apart a little bit. So we, you know, I hired Josh, who's a content director at Einstein Marketer, and I knew it wouldn't generate any revenue or any results whatsoever for ages. You know, I went into it knowing that for a whole year we wouldn't get anything from it. But I just gave him the mission. I said, right, every single week, we're going to post three great blog posts a week. We're going to take what we know and what we learn from the agency, actually doing it. We're going to create content from that, and we're going to put it out there, and we're going to be consistent, even if we get no results. And we've been doing that now for about 3 years. And like I said, yeah, you know, we get a lot of traffic now. So it's starting to pay off now in dividends, because we get loads of free leads. Well, I say free. Obviously, I spent 3 years paying someone's salary to get that. But, you know, we get organic leads coming in every single month. A lot of them know who we are already. And, you know, our brand sort of established as that sort of, you know, content rich company.
How did you go from that transition of, because obviously, like you say, direct response Google ads to sort of content first is a big shift in like mentality, the big shift in how you operate. What was the, we're talking like quite a, not a long time ago now, but relatively speaking, a while ago, what transition did you make from, was it sort of organic Facebook content you started, you could see that was going to be the next big wave after the Google ads, or what was the first platform you were like, right, this is where we do the content first approach?
I mean, Facebook definitely, you know, because Facebook, we were pretty much at the point where we were doing 90% of our stuff when I started Einstein was all Facebook, because Facebook right now is just amazing. You know, you've got so many people on there, you can target really, really specifically of who you want, but there was just a space for that content only. And I'll tell you exactly how we learned it. It's a cool story. So one of my friends, Adrian, he started working at a restaurant in Gravesend. He'd always wanted to be a head chef. And he started working at a restaurant. He was a head chef at this restaurant. It opened in Gravesend called Brasserie 32. And I was never seeing him. As anyone knows, like a chef, you know, it's really unsocial hours. And I was just never seeing my friend. So I thought, one day I just thought to Emily, we hadn't been down there about 3 weeks, 4 weeks after we'd started. So I said to Emily, Em, do you want to go for something to eat? So we put on our ones, take a little stroll down to Gravesend Town, and we walk into Brasserie 32. So we saw Brasserie 32. We walk in, and I'm not joking you, it was dead in there. As in, there was no one in there. Like, you know, when you walk in somewhere and you get the hairs in the back of your neck stand up, and it's like, are we supposed to be here? Are we in the right place? Like, it's not the feeling you want when you walk in a restaurant. Yeah, yeah. It was empty. To the point where we were just about to come out and check the sign up and, you know, make sure we were in the right place. Just as we did, the owner, Andrew, ran out of the kitchen. He's a little late. He's like, oh, yeah, how can I help you? I explained to him that I'm Adrian's friend. He said, sit down. He started serving us drinks, you know. He was talking to us, keeping the conversation going. We were having a great time. He was showing us the menu. He was telling us what wines go best with what meals and all this. Really good, just a really good experience we were having that he was giving us. The food come out that Adrian cooked, obviously, it was absolutely spot on, really good. And I can remember, it's still empty. Me and Emily, the only ones in there. And I can remember looking around. And by the way, this was a Friday night.
This is a Friday night, right?
And I can remember, I was looking around, I was like, I've had a great time. Andrew's fantastic. Like, he's one of those hosts, you know, like when we went in the second time, he remembers your name, you know, he's one of those guys, remembers your drinks as well. And just sitting there thinking, why is this place empty? Because it's not the service, because that's fantastic. The food's quality. And so why is it empty? And this is what a lot of business owners, ask themselves. You know, why aren't I getting business? I'm great at what I do because everyone that I do help tells me I'm great. So it wasn't any of that stuff. It was because nobody knew they were there. That was the one reason. No one knew that they existed. A lot of people, when they open, especially bricks and mortar, they assume that because they've now got a shop front that people are just going to magically turn up.
Build it and they will come.
Build it and they will come. Yeah. That's not the case anymore, you know, especially with bricks and mortar. No one knew it was there. So I sat Andrew down. I said, look, I've just started a marketing agency. I think we can help you. I've got this strategy that we're sort of testing out at the moment, which is where we just put content out. We don't call to action anybody. We literally just put some content out there like we're doing with Einstein. We just put some content out there using what's called the engagement objective on Facebook. So grab your pens, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going to give you a little deep dive into this strategy now. Right, so it was using the engagement objective on Facebook, which basically means you are paying Facebook to show Facebook's users content on Facebook. And they like that because you're not sending them away. You're not getting them to click to go to your site. So it's very, very cheap. So, you know, you can generate, for instance, you could generate a video view for half a penny, right? You can get someone to watch a video for half a penny. And I told Andrew about this strategy and I said, look, you know, we're doing this with our blogs and this is how we're sort of growing our blogs. We're only spending a fiver a day at the time. We're only spending a fiver. Fiver a day just on this one strategy. I said, give me a fiver a day. Can you afford a fiver a day? He said, yeah, absolutely. I won't charge you for my fee. Just give me a fiver a day. I said, what we do? And he's like, well, what content? You know, because you do blogs. What content? We're a restaurant. So I said, well, you know, you make food. And then I just remembered, you know, those videos that make you hungry. You see the food being made from the start to the finish really quickly. And you're like, oh, that was a cool video. So I said, let's do that. So me and Billy Bones, my video guy, we went down to the restaurant on Monday when they were closed. And Adrian, for us, he cooked every meal on the menu, like from start to finish. So we saw it going in the pan. We saw him cooking it, you know, all the ingredients going in, laid out on the plate, served up. And then even like the steak, like cut open. And then that's where the video ended. They were like 1 minute, 2 minute videos. And we started, this was a strategy. We would post that video on their page. On the Monday, we would put £5 a day behind the campaign. Our targeting, our audience was anyone in Gravesend. That was it. If you're above 18 and you're in Gravesend, we wanted you to see this video.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really easy target. And we didn't have to have an avatar and all that sort of stuff. We knew who we were targeting. We want everyone to know this place is there. The goal was to get people to know that the restaurant existed. And we started running this campaign again. We were getting, on average, for a fiver, we were getting between 1,000 and 2,000 views a day. So people in Gravesend, 2,000 of them were seeing the video
a
day.
For a fiver,
right? And what slowly but surely what happened, they loads of shares, loads of comments, loads of tagging, right? Really, really loads of engagement on these posts. I explained to Andrew, this isn't a direct response strategy. Like, you know, my bread and butter is direct response. We drive people somewhere, we capture a lead, or we drive people somewhere, we get a sale. This is a long-term strategy. This is what we call an awareness strategy. So don't expect your phones to start ringing off the hook, because that's not how it works. Let's say you got John, he's sitting at home and he's scrolling through Facebook lying on the sofa, and he sees this video of this amazing steak being made from Brasserie 32. He doesn't immediately, while he's laying there on a Monday night, call up and book a table. But the next time that his wife, Jane, let's call her, calls out from the kitchen, she said, actually, that was well sexist, wasn't it? She calls out from the dining room. Is that better?
Yeah. No, it's not. You're digging yourself a worse
She calls out from the hallway. Here we go. We'll go for the hallway. She calls out from the hallway and says, John, when you taking me out? John thinks to himself, I know where I'll take you. I'll take you to Brasserie 32, because I saw a video of a really good steak being made there a couple of weeks ago on Facebook. Boom. The solution to the problem of where do we eat is now Brasserie 32 in his mind. We've seeded that solution in their brains. And that's what you have to do a lot of the time, right? We just got to, that's what awareness is. It's not to get them to act now. It's get them to know that you're there for when they need you. And slowly but surely, the footfall started picking up. And I knew it was picking up because I spoke to Adrian. He's like, mate, we're getting busier and busier. About 8 weeks later, and I didn't think it would have this effect this soon, but about 8 weeks later, we were running this strategy now. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of views at this point across all the videos. Me and Emily walked down there again on a Friday night. We just strolled down there, walked in, and it was heaving. Absolutely Ramo. You know, it was, there was staff now. They had staff. You know, they're running around like blue-ass flies trying to serve everybody. We walk in, there's no Andrew. You know, he's not coming up to greet us. He's not offering us drinks. He's flat out in the kitchen somewhere trying to help out, right? It was Ramo. Lady come up to us, hi, yeah, can I help you? I said, yeah, we'd like a table, please. She said, well, I'm sorry, we're fully booked. I said, oh, okay, no worries. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll walk down the pub, have a couple of drinks, we'll come back in an hour. She said, no, we're fully booked all night. I'm sorry. Unless someone drops out, we're fully booked. And just a big smile come on my face, man. I was like, I can't believe this is the case. I was happy. Hungry, but happy, you know. And it changed their business, turned their business around. Yeah, so that's sort of how we learned that strategy. But we've now taken that and used that to help us with the direct response stuff as well. Because the good thing about it is you can build those audiences up. So let's say, for instance, if they have a promotion for £10 off their meal or whatever, we can show it to all the people that have watched those videos. So now we're even more specific in our targeting. So that's how that come up, yeah.
How difficult was it? Because, you know, we live in a world now where everyone's watched Gary Vee. If you've got even a slight interest in marketing, you've watched Gary Vee and you kind of like get the content marketing strategy and you get the awareness play. But how hard was it when Andrew is there, he's got no one through the restaurant. How hard was it to go, do you know what? I know it's a fiver, but more than anything, it's the time, I guess. Let's do some marketing. It's just going to raise your awareness, but it's not going to drive a direct call to action. Like, people nowadays get it, but you're talking like 10 years ago. How difficult was it to convince people then?
Well, yeah, I mean, this was only about 3 years ago. Yeah, this was like three or four years. This was just as I started Einstein, this was about 3 years. Because that strategy's only been around for that sort of period of time, really. But no, you know, mate, I'm a salesman. I sold it to him. You know, I sold him on it. And plus, you know, it's a great offer. I weren't charging him anything
for
it.
Yeah, 100%.
It was sort of a fiver a day. You know, what his other options were, I could pay a grand for 10,000 leaflets, pay 200 quid for someone to go and drop them all off. You know, that was his options then. Or £5 a day, which is what? I don't know, 150 quid, 200 quid a month or something. So it was quite an easy sale, yeah.
So that was working then. what's working really well now? That engagement, is that still a strategy that works really well for the clients you work with?
We absolutely, we still use it, yeah, for sure. It just helps the actual ad, I call it the actual ad, but the actual ad that's getting people to do something, it makes that a lot more powerful. And it's a bit too technical to go into on this, but it does work side in side with the direct response strategies that we run. But you know, the biggest thing now, especially when COVID hit, the biggest thing that we got amazing at, because a lot of our a lot of our clients were event guys or coaches and consultants that sell, you know, programs for, in some cases, tens of thousands. Suddenly, they were doing those at events, they were doing those in person, right? And when COVID hit, they were all screwed. They just didn't have, they didn't have a channel to promote any of their stuff. So we had to come up with a different strategy for them. And that was getting really good quality calls booked, for them. So that's what's really working well for us at the moment. We've refined it over about a year, is just getting, really good phone calls booked for a lot of the services. Dentist, right, is a great example. I'll tell you what, the best firm, the best company, which is frustrating for me, that's smashing it, like their ROI is crazy, we'll work it out in a minute, it's a double glazing firm that we built a funnel for. So we built a lead generation funnel for this double glazing firm. When they come to us, Sure Seal Windows, they're called, in I think they're based in Wales. John Dennis is the MD, and he's a really nice guy, but he come to us, he was paying £150 for a lead.
Wow.
So for a lead, for someone that may be interested, right? There is some intent with that, but still £150, like Jesus. And so he come to us, he said, look, can we do anything so that we can start generating our own? So we built him a funnel, and it ended up getting him leads. We were averaging about £7. So I think better quality anyway. And better quality leads up until the point of the phone call, £7 instead of £150. Last month he spent £9,000 and he made £104 from these leads. Like crazy. And that is getting people through this strategy to book a call. So what's that? That's like a 10x return. And I'm just like, mate, I'm in the wrong business.
That's why it's called white gold, isn't
mate,
it?
Mate, I need to start a double glazing firm. Because like, he's smashing it now. To the point now where, like, we have to, again, £9,000. Like, for us, that's not a lot of money. He's just on our minimum retainer. So I'm like, John, let's scale this up, mate. We're talking 10x. He cannot, though, but he cannot because he's regional at the moment. So I said, look, mate, the other option that we've got, which is what we're in discussion with now, is we could sell these leads to competitors. We could set this campaign up, because at the moment we're geo-targeting sort of Wales around those areas. Mate, let's set up a campaign in Scotland, in, the Midlands. Let's find some people like you. You were paying £150 before you met me, so they might pay £150. We could be onto something here. So that's what we're in discussion with at the moment, yeah. So that's working really, really well for a lot of service providers, especially if your service is high ticket or, it's above £500. That sale really needs to be done on the phone. Mm. It's very, very difficult, I've found, and again, I've tested it loads, to sell anything above that and get that buying decision online. If you're trying to get that, and I was talking about this the other day on this show, wasn't I? But to try and get that buying decision on the screen when there's no human interaction there and you're asking that person to make a buying decision of £500 or £1,000 off the screen without talking to someone, without getting their questions and objections answered, it's really difficult. So
do you get that a lot from clients who still think that, social media marketing is literally about, flog this car for me?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
And is there a big education piece? You're like, no, we're going to get you the lead. We'll generate it to that far. Then you've got to get this sale across the line.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, a lot of coaches and consultants definitely find us because of our clientele. A lot of the big names, especially in the UK, are all our clients.
Yeah.
They're all our clients. And so people know that. And then all of the coaches and the consultants and the guys that have got programs and things like that, they all come to us and they might have something for £1,000 or £2,000 and it's an online coaching program. They just think they want to sell that on the page. I'm just like, mate, that's not going to happen. It doesn't matter how good of a copywriter I was or my team is, that we're never going to be able to get a buy. Yeah. You might get 1 in 1,000, but what about the 999? What about all those guys? Guys that aren't ready to make that buying decision there, but they might if the strategy's different, if the funnel's different. And this is where the sort of funnel comes into play, and you have to think about, right, what have we got to sell? What price point is it? That's where we start when we're asking, clients all their information, because that will depend on what the funnel strategy is. If it's, say, for instance, if it's under £500, I think I was having this conversation, is it Iffy?
Yeah. Iffy?
The other day about the webinar. Under 500, Yeah, you. Yeah, under 500 can be done like on a webinar in that environment, you know. But as you get over that, you've got to take that offline, that conversation.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and because of a lot of our clients are service, I just sort of niche them now to service providers because it's sort of 50-50. We've got coaches, consultants, and those guys that sell that sort of stuff. And then, like I said, we've got the double glazing firms, we've got the solicitors, we've got the dentists that provide some sort of, you know, high end service as well. And it all works for them.
How difficult is it for you to keep focus on what is your core competency? So, for example, with the double glazing firm, yeah, you know, you're getting them loads of leads, but actually the guy can't scale up because he actually can't fulfil the demand or yeah, can't fulfil the supply. It's not a supply and demand issue because he's got enough demand for the supply that he can yeah, give. In that instance there, how do you ever have to pull yourself back and go, do you know what? Why don't I just start cold generating my own leads? Why don't I start cultivating this myself? Or do you do that as well?
No, funnily enough, we're in discussion of doing it, yeah. And that client has actually raised that sort of question in our minds. Just like, what if we do that?
Just generally got the lead and then resold it.
I mean, it's just that thing, like for me, and it's stupid. It's a stupid business decision, really. A stupid reason for it anyway. It's... Do I want to sell someone a lead for 150 that I'm generating for £6 when I know that I could just build something for them and it worked? Like with John, you know, I could have said, I'll tell you what, mate, instead of me building something that means you can get a lead for £6, I'll generate your leads and I'll sell them for 100. You're saving £50. You know, I just, yeah, it's just a sort of our style really is to just do it for, get it all set up for them so that yeah, they can eventually run it. Like, you know, we say to our clients when we first take them on as well that, you know, we want to get to a point where you're not paying us every month. You know, we want to get it set up in a way so that the ads and the funnel and everything's sort of so automated that you've really just got to keep an eye on the ads. Yeah, and you wouldn't need us. So a lot of the time, that's a selling point as well, because a lot of the stuff that we do now as well is education. So we'll try and educate them and give them as much sort of training on the Facebook ad side of things anyway as possible, so that one day they might not need the agency. But they always do, but it's just a good selling point.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
What have you found, because this would be interesting for people in the room actually, with the changes to iOS, how has that affected Facebook? What have you seen?
I mean, not much really. You know, it was definitely massively blown out of proportion that in terms of it, from the media. It was definitely a bigger deal than what it is. You know, first of all, what you got to remember is that it is hard to believe because I don't know anyone that hasn't got an iPhone actually, but only...
You haven't?
Yeah, okay. I do now.
Only weirdos.
I do now. So,
Only
20% of the market is iOS. I think it's 22%. So 22% of the market shares is iOS. The rest is Android anyway. So we're talking about that. Then you've got the people that actually, you know, opt in or opt out for it, whichever way around it is. The biggest thing that it affected is reporting. So when it first happened, it was loads of our reporting just went out the window. So the results stayed the same.
Yeah.
But our visibility was different. And again, I don't want to get too technical in it, but it was just like, hold up. We're seeing here that we've sent 500 people over there. But over there is telling us we've sent 1,000 or so, you know, or the vice versa, the other way around. So it definitely messed up reporting a little bit.
So the content's still being pushed to people on, you know, into their feed, but
yeah,
yeah,
a lot. But it basically just means that it's now hard to retarget across platforms now, you know, and that's very, very difficult to do. So because if you're opted out, they won't be allowed to track across apps anymore. That's basically what it's doing. And what it also means that, say, for instance, Paul might be, you know, looking at yachts and private jets and all of that sort of stuff.
Literally all in Google is full of.
Right, Facebook would know that information. So I might be able to create an audience of people that are looking at yachts and but I can't do that anymore. You know, so it just takes a little bit more skill in the targeting side of things as well, because the audience is, you can't target as much. But again, it's only really just gone into effect anyway. But you know what they're doing. You know what Apple are doing. 100% what they're doing. They're lining up for their own ad platform.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. You know, their whole campaign. Now, I knew it was serious when, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I saw their new ad. Their new ad campaign is all about it.
Privacy.
That's now their selling point. And I was like, God, they're really pushing this.
Yeah.
You know, and then now they've got this email thing coming out as well, you know, about that. Yeah, but they're doing some sort of, I can't remember how it works now, but they're doing some sort of big email filter, which means that some of your emails aren't going to get through to Apple now as well, because they're going to filter them all out if they're like bulk sending and things like that. I'm not really sure about the details yet, but they're definitely just lining up to take over the market there, I think. That's what I think they're doing.
Interesting times. But I think there's probably so many people in the audience who'd get mega value from this conversation as well. I don't want to hog it all to ourselves. So mods and speakers, if you're on the stage, in fact, you know what as well? Let me turn the hand raise off. Then we'll turn the hand raise back on again.
I've got while you're doing that, I've got another question, because this came up very late in the room yesterday, right towards the end. If you were still listening, there was talk around. It was basically around how, you know, people concentrate on the digital marketing part first and don't have a product in the background to. And I think this was around the expert space, you know, coaches, consultants, and it was basically how they. You know, people get the reputation of
sell it and then sell it and then create it or something.
Yeah, or sell it and then don't deliver, basically.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, are you guys careful with who you work with in that expert space? And
100%, yeah.
For that yeah. exact reason.
I mean, we've got, you know, again, most of those guys are all really established anyway. So they've got all of their stuff set up, but... Yeah, 100% we are. You know, and we've had a few. We had some guys come... 2 or 3 months ago now, really wanted our business. They commenting on my ads. So all my ads, they were just like, they were tagging each other. And I was having a bit of banter with them in the comments of my ads. And I thought, Carl, yeah, these guys are keen. They're going to hire us. But then, you know, when we went into it, they basically had they thought they had some sort of cryptocurrency coaching program that wasn't yet created, but they were basically promising me that it would be and all of this sort of stuff. So yeah, what we want to do is we want to hire, get this whole funnel built, and then you guys promote the ads and et cetera, et cetera. But it weren't actually done. Not only that, when it was more done, I was looking at it, I was like, this is cack, this is rubbish. This ain't good at all. So I was just like, we try to make sure, as best we can anyway, sometimes we can't be completely certain, but we try to make sure that it's a good thing. You know, because at the end of the day, if it's not, you know, mate, the market's smart. You know, you're going to get figured out anyway. So the marketing's going to be difficult if it's not. So if it's not legit and it doesn't make sense and there's something not right along the way, the results that we get for these people ain't going to be good. And when the results ain't good, they blame us. And that's a ball aching in itself that we don't want to deal with. As best we can, we try to avoid that. So we will only take on clients as well where we believe it's actually going to work. Mm. Because, you know, loads of agencies out there, if you go up to them and say, yeah, you know, can I hire you? Yeah, great, I'm $2,000 a month. You know, a 6 month contract or whatever. I'm $2,000 a month. They would take your money and they'll just do it and then worry about the problems later.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we look into it vigorously and make sure that's not the case. Because again, we have no contracts. Our goal is to make sure that they get a result. Because that's the only way, you know, if Ashley gives me a quid and I give him two back, he's going to keep giving me pounds. Probably then he's going to give me two, so he gets four. And that's sort of our philosophy with that. We want to make sure that they're always winning and getting that result, because that leads to continued business for us. But yeah, you know, so we try as hard as we can to make sure that everything's kosher.
Kosher. Right, let's go to the panel then. So if you've got a question for Matty Wilson, head honcho of Einstein Marketer, give us a flash of the mic. If you've got a question around your marketing or your automation of marketing or driving leads and lead generation, Dale, we will come to you, my friend. What's your question, pal?
Hey, team. How's it going? Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dale.
First of all, Matt, Jesus Christ, you smashed us with information. I think I've got enough information within me for the whole of the rest of this month just to work on. But to make it specifically for me, so I work with kids, and I've been really okay. So let me start this again. At the beginning of the year, I was really trying quite hard with Facebook ads, because what I wanted to do was just advertise a low buying product. So my subscription, which is £39 a month, I see the kids weekly with a big group of kids, and that's cool. I've got around about 10 or so on that now, which is not too bad. Mm-hmm. But I just want more and more and more, because I'm realizing in my time I've got right now, there's only one Dale. That's really arrogant. There's only one Dale.
And there only needs to be one, in my opinion, and there only should be one.
I think the point I'm trying to make is that I can create more of me by creating mini coaches, which is what I'm doing. But my time's being used up. So in order for me to make a bit more of an income, I need to increase my high ticket and my coaching program, or I could just get more parents to put their kids through the Young Life Warrior program, which is the academy that I run. But I don't really know the best way to do that. Should I do that in regard to, hey, watch this video, this automated webinar?
How much is it, mate? Sorry.
£39 a month.
£39 a month, yeah. So when you did the Facebook ads, what happened there? What were the results? None, zero, yeah?
Yeah, they're a bit crappy. I would say that I've learned a lot with Facebook ads, so how to retarget. So it's just really messy, and I'm a very big picture kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, James knows what I'm talking about in the realms of NLP, so it's specific and detailed, or there's big picture, and I'm not in with the details, so I kind of like run out of steam, and maybe it's a mindset thing, I don't know.
I mean, mate, again, you know, and this is one thing that we get so much, that everyone focuses on the actual ads and the marketing side of things, you know, and it's so easy, because a lot of the guys out there that are, you know, selling training and coaching and stuff on this stuff is all around it, for instance, Facebook ads, right? Here's how you run profitable Facebook ads, because that's sexy and that's what sells, right? It's flashy, yeah, you know, make money from Facebook ads and all that. But the real magic behind a successful campaign isn't the actual ads. The ads are actually quite easy. You know, setting up a good Facebook campaign isn't difficult if the strategy where you're sending them is good. And, you know, my sort of background and my bread and butter really, you know, especially as I've worked for Andy, has been the sales funnel side of things. And again, you know, sales funnels, for people that are listening that might know that not know that terminology, it's basically just a business model, right? What is your business model? Where do you, like, for instance, an offline business model would be, yeah, they walk bricks and mortar. Yeah, you know, we send out some sort of flyer that gets them in the shop. That's a funnel. Other ones might be, yep, they see an ad in the Yellow Pages, they make a phone call, we close them on the phone. That's a funnel. All right. So that's what basically a funnel is. It's just getting people from where they are to where you want them to be. Now, there's probably a very, very good chance that what you're doing is the way you're trying to get them from A, Facebook, to B, your membership program, is just wrong. So first of all, just talk to me about the strategy. Where did you send them to try, or, you know, to ask them to actually sign up?
So have you heard of Go High Level?
Yes.
Yeah, so I've invested in Go High Level. I started with ClickFunnels and all that, but Go High Level is pretty good.
Same sort of thing, yep.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a whiz with creating landing pages now. Mm-hmm. So all it was just a video of me being all loud and brash, which is what I always am on my videos, just to get attention. And then they see the spiel underneath and they click the link, and the link sends them to a landing page, which is just, I'll try to make it as simple as possible, with a big flashy headline which corresponds with the Facebook ad. Mm-hmm. A little video of me talking about it. It wasn't actually. It was a picture of me with the kids online, and then a big button to press, just click here now. Mm-hmm. They go through a little anxiety booster questionnaire, and there's testimonials on the next page. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of effort.
So on that first step, so let's rewind. So on that first step where you're initially sending them, you said there's a video of you being loud and brash, and then you get them to click through to the actual sales page, let's call it, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So on that first step, when they click that button, do they just immediately go to the sales page?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So a couple of things then, right? So, and this goes for everyone listening, all right? Because this is really, really important. What I'm about to talk about now is ad spend efficiency, okay? Especially for small business owners, right? We've got limited budgets. You know, we have marketing at our level has to be as efficient as possible, because we haven't got a £1 million budget where we can, you know, like Coca-Cola, just for brand awareness. We haven't got that. So we have to be as efficient as possible. So the one thing that you should have done, and you should do after this, is on that first step, when they first click that button, what they're doing is they're telling you they've got intent to go and check out the sales page. So what you should have is a pop-up that comes up and says, step one, fill in this form to give me your information. And you should capture their name and email. Because that's where a big lot of your drop-offs going. Let's say you send 1,000 people to that page. You might get 500 to go to the next step, but you haven't got any of their information. And then if none of them buy, you've lost those 1,000 people that you've sent there. However, if you have a pop-up that comes up and you grab their information at that point, if they bail, we you know, this is called a cart abandon, even if they're not abandoning a cart, we just call it a cart abandon. If they bail at that point, you've got them on your list so that you can put them into a follow-up series of emails driving them back to the sales page. All right, that's just for everybody listening. But in all honesty, that's what you're doing is the wrong strategy. So let me just give you some one-on-one sort of tips, right? Well, first of all, everyone has to understand that selling continuity, selling memberships, selling subscriptions is the hardest thing on the planet to sell. It's easier to sell something for a grand than it is to sell something for £25 a month. Because
really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's the hardest thing on the planet to sell. And so the way you sell it, especially nowadays, you know, has to be fairly clever. You've got to think your way through it, because the buying decision of someone when they're asking a subscription, how they see it in their minds, even though this isn't reality and it isn't logical, it's £25 for the rest of my life till the day I die. And this is only subconscious, but that's what's going on. And that will make them, that will deter them from making that buying decision, you know. Whereas £1,000, although it's a lot more hefty investment, they know what they're getting and they know they've got to pay that. Okay, so it's a really hard thing what you're trying to sell. Now, it can be done, but what I would recommend and my advice to you would be to try and think about it a little bit differently. Because it's so hard to sell, what I would do is I would create a free version of what you've got, okay, which is limited, and get people that's got a load of value and get people into like a free version. So you'd almost have like two tiers once they log in, because then all you've got to do is promote and sell the free membership. Immediately from there, if they join the free membership, then you can try to upsell them immediately into the subscription, because that converts well. Like, for instance, ones we've done for clients in the past have converted roughly about 5% from free member to paid member. But then when they're in the members area, they can see all of the free content that they've got access to and then all of the paid content that's locked, and it just bugs the out of them, right? They see this great content, they can't access it. And every time they click it, they're offered the subscription, right? Every time they click, oh, that looks really good. You know, it's Dale, I don't know, Dale doing a, whatever it is you do, I don't know. And they click on that, and it takes them to the sales page, right? It takes them to the sales page and says, you can access this content plus loads of others if you just do it. Also, your offer, very, very important. So you've started me off now, I'm just ranting. Around. Right, your offer, really, really important, Dale, because your offer, when you again, because it's the hardest thing to sell, you've probably got this already, but if you haven't, you have to have one, is you've got to have a free trial to start it. You have to have a free trial to start it. Because again, because of that massive fear in their minds of a subscription, people want to at least test it out. So to make it convert even half as good as it needs to, it's got to have a free trial attached to it. So right on the upsell, once they join the free membership, immediately offer them a free trial. I always recommend 14 days. And then when they're in there as well, if they want to upgrade, still offer them the free trial, because you'll get a lot more people signing up. What it means for you as the entrepreneur, as the marketer, is that now, guess what? You haven't got to sell a paid subscription. What you've got to do is promote a free membership. And it becomes a lot easier, a lot more attractive to the market, and a lot easier for you to sell, because you can sell that with conviction. It's like, you'd be mad not to join this. It's free, you know? And then you can organically get people to upgrade. So hopefully that helps.
Dale, I hope you was taking notes there, because if...
Sorry.
Mate, oh, no, he's just gone. Was. Yeah, mind blowing. It makes a lot of sense, isn't it? Because I just saw that round onto me. You know, when you see you get something from, I don't know, online, and they say, you get a subscription. It's just like, I don't want to pay £25 a month for that forever. Get lost. So I've just, yeah, you've made me turn that around, Matt. Cheers, bro.
No worries, mate. No worries.
Right. James has deserted us.
So should we go down? Should we get another question from the audience?
Yeah.
So who is there that wants to ask Matt a question? Give us a flash of a mic. Alison.
Can I just say, that is amazing. This is one of the best things I have heard in this room. And I love you, Matt. I love your...
Thanks for the feedback, Alison. Cheers.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. imagine how good the guys they actually wanted would be.
It's all just blown my mind. I do have a question, right? So one of the things I went over to Facebook about 4 years ago. They invited me over to Dublin, and at that time they were looking at the community, you know, Facebook groups and how to grow communities.
Nice.
Do you think that's still as strong, or
absolutely?
Do you think?
Yeah, so groups are, you know, fantastic, especially this year. They've taken a really sort of good turn in terms of engagement and reach on Facebook. So Facebook are giving them a lot more time in the feed. From a business sales point of view, they're fantastic because they just pre-sell and build so much relationship. You know, similar to sort of what we're doing here, right? With the conversation, you guys feel like you know us. You feel like you know each other sometimes when you speak. It's because you're engaging with each other, and a group brings that into Facebook. And there's a really good strategy that we've used, because we only started doing these this year, but we've built three of them now. And it's a funnel for a group. So we actually promote Facebook groups. We run a really simple ad to a really simple landing page. Okay, you can drive them to a landing page. Because again, what the goal always, guys, if you're marketing online, is to get as much from that spend as possible. So rather than just, you know, you can't directly promote a group, but you can promote a landing page. So what we do is we send them to a landing page that asks for their information. So to get a group invite, give us your name and email. All right. They then are on our list, are on our email list, which is fantastic. And then on the thank you page, we set that to the group entry page, you know, where they can actually sign up for the group and answer the questions and all of this sort of stuff. The strategy within the group, though, from a funnel point of view, the strategy in the group has to be DMs. It has to be getting people into DMs. So what we do is we come up with posts and offers that these people can do. So that normally our two clients that do it, and the third that's about to start, they'll do a live stream once a week, okay, to add value into the group. And then they'll do random posts throughout the week. And the goal of the post is always to get people to hold their hands up in the comments. Once someone does that, immediately one of the team takes over that in Messenger. And we might make them an offer. For instance, we might say, yeah, I've just shot a new video, or I've just created this new downloadable PDF, or just created this new thing. If you want it, comment yes in the comments. Those comments are now taken over to Messenger. So what we do is we reply to the comment. This is the strategy. You have to reply to the comment. You give them a link to your Messenger, you know, www.m.mattwilson or whatever it is. You give them a link in the reply of your comments. The reason you do this is because a lot of the time, if you send people a message in your group, they ain't going to see it, because it's going to go into the message request folder that no one knows how to find. So if you give them a link to your Messenger, they will immediately, if they click on that, it will take them to the message that you've sent. And then your job there is to start a conversation. All right, deliver the thing that you've promised. Where are you struggling most at the moment? I'm struggling, you know, with this. Okay, cool. Where is it you want to be? What's your goal? To get them to open up and tell you their goals. Right, okay, well, listen, I've got a solution that could perfectly help you get. Would you like to jump on a call and talk about this? And then the strategy then becomes group to Messenger to call. But yeah, you can definitely promote a group if you use a landing page like that. So hopefully that helped.
That helped a lot. And the fact that all of the people on the stage have named my book Smash It All Morning, I love that too. Thanks for your time, Matt.
No worries.
Okay,
let's go for one more question.
If you've got a question you'd love to ask one of the top direct response and lead generation marketers in the country. Do you know what? Well, let's go to Rob, because Rob was asking earlier about some advice for his safari lodges. And who knows? You've had free teeth. Maybe get a free holiday. Here we go. Rob, over to you.
Here's your opportunity.
Thanks, James. Matt, this is an absolute masterclass, and I'm totally engaged. I've been furiously making notes, so thanks very much for your insights. But what I'm really interested to ask is something that you alluded to earlier but didn't actually carry on talking about. And I wonder if you could talk to sales funnels for high ticket items. You were talking about online people not really buying much above 500 or £1,000.
Yep.
Most of what I sell is starts at around $30,000 or $40,000 upwards into yep. six figures per individual booking. So could you talk a little to the high ticket stuff, please, in terms of sales funnels?
Yeah, it all has to be taken offline. So the whole goal always has to be taken offline. You know, that conversation is something that needs to happen either on the phone or in person. So the goal has to be to book an appointment. But the funnel itself, before that, again, to make it as efficient as possible, should always lead with saying, I always like to lead with saying for free. And again, it depends on what market you're in, obviously. But if there's something for free that you can give away in exchange for their contact information first, it just makes it a lot more efficient, the money you're spending. So you might, the funnel might, you know, and I don't know the market, but the funnel might be landing page offering something for free, whatever that is, right? Offering something for free. And then on the next page, because we've captured their information there now, we've captured their information, your next goal, and to everyone listening, your next goal has to be, how can I move these people into the sales environment that best suits my service? And again, that depends on price. So let's say, for instance, you are selling something for 10 grand. The sales environment that best suits that is going to be the phone. All right. So immediately after you give away something for free, immediately you have to try and make them an offer to move them into a sales environment. This is the language I use. All right. And the reason why we do it immediately, because old school, this is what you do. You drive them to a page, capture a load of data, you get a load of leads. Then you try to email those people to then hopefully sell to them further on down the line. The problem with that is, let's say, for instance, if I capture 1,000 leads, 1,000 of those people are now on my list, but only 200 of them, if that, are actually going to open my email. Only 100 of those are going to read it. Only 10 of them are going to click it, and probably none of them are going to buy. All right, because you've waited too long. The only time, and this goes for everybody, the only time 100% of your leads, your prospects, will ever see what you've got is on the thank you page of when they first give you their information. Because think about it, on the thank you page, they're waiting to get the thing that they've just requested. Their attention is on the screen. And that is the only time that it's 100%. If you leave it, you know, 1, 2, 3, whatever, it's going to drop off massively. So you've got to make sure that your thank you page is now your most valuable page of your business. That is where all of the sales and all of the prospecting is made, because that's where you're moving them into a sales environment. So that's where I would invite them to a webinar. That's where I would make them an offer to buy something if it was low priced. That's where I would try to offer them some sort of phone call, come in and see us, some sort of demo to get them into the sales environment that I need. Yeah, so definitely think about that. Think about how you can move them into that sales environment.
Does that help, Rob? Does that answer questions? Is it giving you more questions?
Yeah. I've got thousands more questions, but no. It's very interesting to hear that. So ultimately, Matt, if you can just confirm, your engagement is effectively the low-hanging fruit, and what you're ultimately doing is you're pushing for the kind of sweetest orange on top of the tree by kind of leading people up that ladder. Is that basically what you're pushing?
Absolutely, yeah. The value ladder. That's the term that we actually use. Yeah, it's exactly right.
But actually, like what you've given this morning is an absolute masterclass that other marketers would be charging £9.97 for today only. It's £3.20. Do you know what I mean?
All of our prices end in a five, weirdly. And I've picked up on the seven thing as well. It's strange. Yeah.
Matt, where can people find you? Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to be reaching out to you, firstly. And secondly, tell us about your event that you've got coming up.
Yeah, so, you know, over on Instagram, man. Yeah, give me a little follow on Instagram. And if there's like loads of free resources in the link there.
Naming. Just told him all the tactics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want a masterclass in funnels, just go to my profile. But yeah.
Come join my free group on Facebook.
Follow me on Instagram, I suppose. Yeah, but the event, yes, at EMC. So again, we started this event. This is one of my big sort of dreams when I first started this company. So I go to an event every year, and I went to the first one, which I think was about 8 years ago now, called Traffic and Conversion Summit. Yeah. Any of you guys been there? TNC, but it's put on by good friends of mine now, actually, Digital Marketer in America. And I travel there. I didn't go last year, obviously, or the year before, but pretty much every year I go there. I fly all the way to San Diego to go there. And the reason I do that, and I've probably taken, across these 8 years, I've probably taken about 15, 20 people with me, is because it was just blew me away with value. When I first went there, first of all, it was the first non-selling event that I've ever been to. Yeah. It's like, what's going on here? I couldn't figure it out. It was freaking me out.
Why is nobody running to the back with their credit cards?
I was like, how are they going to sell me if they're not doing it from stage? I was sort of looking over my shoulder, you know, where is everyone? And it just blew me away that the value, and it became so important for me to go there. If I want to stay at the cutting edge of what I'm doing, I have to go to TNC because I can learn from the most incredible guys that are actually doing it. Some of them are actual marketers, like I consider myself, right? And I looked at the UK and I was just like, there's nothing like that here. And I tried to figure it out. It goes back to that Brasserie 32 story. I tried to figure out, why am I going all that way and taken friends. You know, I've probably made them hundreds of thousands over the years because of masterminds I've been a part of and stuff like that. Why am I doing that? And it's because it was content only. It was because I knew I could go there and learn a hell of a lot, but not be sold to. And there was nothing like that here. You know, people do regular events here in the UK, free or paid, but there's always a sale.
To sell something, yeah.
So what happens is, and this is what I noticed, I was like, they're not growing. There's one in particular, I won't mention it, but it doesn't really grow. And I was like, what's the reason? They get repeat business, but it doesn't grow. And the answer is, someone might enjoy an event so much that when they are sold, that they'll come again. It might be valuable enough for them to come again, but they're not going to bring a mate because they know about the sales part. And I don't care what anyone says, it makes some of the audience feel a bit uncomfortable, especially some of the ways they do it, right? But if that's not there, like TNC, they not only come back, but they tell people like I do and take them as well. And I was like, I can see a gap here that I can grow an event like TNC in the UK. And it was one of our goals right when I started Einstein. So we decided to do it at the beginning of last year, literally a week before COVID.
I remember.
Oh, God. So the goal was, this is the only goal. It wasn't to make money on the first one because it was going to be pretty much impossible to do so. We're going to sell it out, 250 people. The goal, written on our wall and everything, all of the speakers had this goal as well. The goal is to make it so valuable that everyone in the audience not only wants to come again and potentially buy a ticket then and there for next year, but they also are going to bring other people. That was the goal. And because we had that in mind, the speakers that I got involved, because I'm privileged to know some of the smartest guys on the planet, you know, we had some really, really good, amazing speakers there. It just blew everyone away. And it was really hard to market and sell, let me tell you, because I was effectively selling a dream. That's what I was selling. So I had no proof. I had no
collateral B-roll.
I had nothing to market apart from my ugly mug telling people that it was going to be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to really sell it hard. And my team worked really, really hard and we sold it, you know, to our database and to our customers. And we fulfilled on it. Everyone, absolutely, it blew everyone away. We sold over 60 people that were there ticket for 2021. It was a week before COVID hit. So 2 weeks before we started getting phone calls, we got one phone call 2 weeks before this. We had one case in the UK, but we had someone call up and said, I'm not going to be coming to Brighton anymore because of COVID-19. And genuinely, I was like, what's COVID-19? I don't understand.
I remember talking to you about it on the day. Yeah.
And then the next day we got another one. Bearing in mind, by this point, we've sold the event out, right? And the whole goal is to grow it, to double it. We need everyone there. And then we started getting more and more people drop out. And I genuinely started shitting myself. I was like, mate, I can't believe this. This is not going to happen. We're going to have no one there. We've sold it out, but no one's going to come. Luckily, we had about 210 show up. So we had 40 people not show up that had paid for a ticket, you know, and the tickets go from 250 right up to, you know, £600 or whatever. They weren't turning up. It was just mental. But anyway, we did it. And then we're putting it on again this year, you know, and the goal was originally to do it in February. We've got Stephen Bartlett headlining this year, who's the CEO and founder of Social Change. About, I think he's like 29, just sold his company for like $200 million. He's just been announced as the newest Dragon on Dragon's Den as well. Youngest ever Dragon on Dragon's Den.
Just been added to the board of Fuel this week as well, hasn't he? The food brand, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, I did see that on his socials. Yeah, so he's headlining this year.
And who else you got?
Well, yeah, and James Burt.
Oh, obviously. My God, how did I sign up?
Host of the Breakfast with Winners.
Was there no one else available?
There was no one else available. He was plan B, just like me. He was a step in. But yeah, like, you know, some really smart guys like Tom Breeze. Tom Breeze is one of the, if not the.
Did you just classify James as smart?
No. He said James.
Just let him talk. Just let the man talk.
Yeah. Then he started saying the smart guys.
What are you doing? Like the graveyard shift?
Graveyard shift. Yeah, I'll be there. Anyone who, because I don't drink, so anyone who wants to have a chat in the bar after, I'll be there.
You're the comedian that's warming up the room. Yeah.
Tom Breeze is like, you know, he runs one of the biggest YouTube agencies. I think he spends about $3 million a month on YouTube for like some of his massive clients.
Great,
he's come in. And again, that's the goal, is to share bombs. But what I try to do is try to make it, it's not a Facebook event. You know, I try to bring everyone in different crafts. So I've got Tom on YouTube ads. You know, I'll be doing a bit on funnels and Facebook ads. I've got Laura Moxham, who's Google. I've got James, who's podcasts, right? And loads
of tickets now, guys.
TikTok ads. What I want is everyone to come and at least have one big thing that they can take away and implement into their business. So, it's happening on the 17th to the 19th of September. You guys are all invited. Love you guys.
I think we do a live breakfast for winners from the event.
Oh, yes.
17th to the 19th. It's my birthday's on the 18th. But, dead in the middle.
There you go.
Or a behind-the-scenes green room.
Yeah, nice. So it's in Brighton again, because, you know, and it's going to be better weather, hopefully, because the last one was at the end of February, so we're in September this time.
It was freezing.
Because, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been pushed back a couple of times, so it's been really difficult promoting it, because it's like, do we promote it? Don't we promote it? So it's been difficult. But, you know, we got the sort of all clear. So we started promotion for it last week. We've sold over 200 tickets already. You know, we're going for five, but now the hotel are saying there's a possibility that we're only allowed 350. So when we get closer to that 350 mark, it's going to be like, you know, what do? We'll have to have that discussion. And it just might mean that we have to sell it out early at 350 and not allow 500 in. We're in a massive room as well. What I've had to do is pay extra for a huge room. So we've got a room that holds 1,000 so that we can be socially distanced in the seating and all that sort of stuff. And again, that's not because they're making us. That's because, you know, I know there will be people that are going to be funny about sitting right next to Ashley Shipman in the...
Most people.
Yeah. Ash, you don't need your passport to go to Brighton. You'll be all right. You're okay.
As well as get my travel insurance sorted in.
or your jabs, you're all right.
I've got a Saturday, and this is not because I'm speaking out, but I actually went to the first
one.
Did
you come last year?
I came with Jimbo, so I was working with James Sinclair at the time, and he was one of the speakers on the second day, I think it was. And I remember, because you and I were sort of pals before, and we were talking about, you're like, there's just nothing in the UK that like rivals the States. You're like, why do I have to go all the way to Nashville or New York
on
or
average,
whatever?
$5,000 roughly I spend. But the tickets that are there, by the way, the minimum ticket's 1,000. Then you got the flight, the accommodation.
Yeah.
It's like $5,000trip, you know?
And you're like, no one's doing it like that in the UK. I remember you said, I want to do, why can't somebody, or why has somebody not taken the risk to do 10X?
Well, the reason is because, you know, the
it's
short...
It's really odd work.
It is, but also short-term,
long-term gain?
It's long-term anyway, but the temptation, that's the word I'm looking for, the temptation of selling something to that many people. So, for instance, right, if I'd hoodwinked people, those 250 people in that room... 100%. If I'd done a little sale and an offer on that stage, I would have been able to sell 100%. I would have made a load of money.
100%.
That is the reason, because it's easy to do that. But I wanted to take that away. Now, don't bear in mind, we had stands and we had sponsors, so people could come up to us. This is the funny thing. From the event to about 4 months after, we actually did over $100,000 in sales from that event, and we didn't sell anything.
Yeah.
Because amazing thing happens when you don't sell to people. They want to buy.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
They go expecting it, don't they?
They And then, you know, they're up there. So our stand was always flooded. How can I hire you? What have you got to offer? You know, our boys were busy all the time, but we never sold anything from stage. So there's a way to do it, but you've got to have that long-term mindset. Because I knew going into the event, we were $3,000 up. I didn't expect to make any money, but we went into the grand, $3,000 in profit after everything was done. So we were like, that's sweet. At least we haven't lost money.
Yeah.
But again, the goal is not even for this year. The goal is for two more years' time when we've got 2,000 people in there. Because I've worked out the numbers. Like TNC, I know their numbers, really, really interesting. Their bottom line on TNC is about 11 million.
Wow.
Their bottom line is 11 million pounds for a three-day event where they don't sell. Because they've got sponsors now. It's basically an exhibition, if you know.
Yeah.
And the outside is like an exhibition now. Their bottom line is 11 million. And I know that, all right, it might not be this year or this year. This year will be better than last year, obviously, in terms of financially, and not even next year. But when that event's 2,000 people, that's a good business.
When you ask Ashley to come, his speaker fee's £1 million anyway.
So that'll pay for Ash then.
He is expensive, but he is worth it.
Anyway, that's the MC.
Where can we find the information out for that?
So yeah, if you go to my bio and there's the mattwilson.club link that's there. It's right at the top of that page. You'll see it there, and you can get tickets from there. Yeah, if you want to come. Absolutely. It'd be a pleasure to have you.
Best UK event I've ever been to.
Yeah, the experience. We tried to do the experience as well. Yeah, you know? So like we have a party on day two. Yeah. VIPs, I pay for that. I was trying to sell it hard last year. I was like, right, if you're a VIP, free bar. That went badly. he'll love this one, actually. It got to, I like a drink, and everyone was buying me drinks, right? It got to about 10 o'clock, and we had the party till 10 o'clock. In the end, I was so drunk. I went up to the manager and I said, we need it till 12. Can I pay extra to have it till 12? And I convinced convinced them to do it. So I got on the mic and I did the, we're not fucking leaving. Like to everyone. And they all loved it. And they were like, yes. They wanted us out at 10. We ain't leaving till 12. I was going. And yeah, very hungover on stage the next day.
Yeah.
I've made sure I've got the morning slot on Sunday this time.
Brilliant. Matt Wilson, yeah, everybody.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Winners Club. If you have taken some practical lessons and learnings from some of the most impactful conversations on Clubhouse, then we would love your support for this show by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you download your podcasts.